hands through everything. Greater is he within you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I'm going to take you on a bit of a journey this morning. The first part may be a bit unfamiliar ground for some of you. The scene may be a bit obscure, but that's all right. Stay buckled up. Don't jump ship. Don't bail out on me, okay? Because at the end of it, you'll be able to see where I want you to go to. But I want you to listen to this song first, and it's called I Believe I Can Fly, and it's by Yolanda Adams. And listen to the words in it. And she says, if I can see it, I can believe it. And if I can believe it, then there's nothing to it. Thanks, Karen.
Please welcome Yolanda Adams.
Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that when you woke us this morning, Lord, you didn't wake us to be mediocre. You didn't wake us up to be ordinary, Father God. You woke us up, Lord, to fulfill everything, Lord, that you placed in us, Lord. To be a people of success, Lord. To be winners, Father God. To be champions, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the greater one that indwells us, Lord. You said, Lord, that we overcome because greater are you within us than he that is in the world, Father. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We thank you, Lord, that we can believe, Lord. And we can be doers, Father God. Because the greater one indwells us, Father. Lord, as we come before your word this morning, I pray, Lord, that Paul prayed to the church at Ephesus, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding be opened and enlightened, Lord, that we may know what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the love and power that you gave to us, Father, through your Son Jesus. And I pray, Lord, the prayer that Paul prayed to the church at Colossians, Lord, that we be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that we may walk worthy of you, pleasing, fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of you, strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, with great joyfulness, Father. Thank you, Lord. Take the meditations of my heart, Lord, and the words of my mouth, and use them today, Father God, for the purpose that someone might be saved, that someone might be delivered, that someone might be healed, that the captive be set free, that dreams, Lord, are restored, Father God, that visions, Lord, are restored, Father, and in the end, Father God, that we could fly, Lord, that you, in a way, Lord, that you would have us to fly. And everybody said, amen. Talking today about growing in Christ. And I want to start with healing. You know, there was a time when if I had a need, that I would pray to God, then try and figure out how to get healing from heaven into me. Like God had all of these healing packages waiting for us to figure out the combination to open them. What I failed to realize and understand back then is that we don't have to call the kingdom down. God made a way for the kingdom with all of its benefits, including healing, to be once again established here on earth. That was redemption's plan. That was redemption's outcome. Heaven, or the kingdom of God, arrived here and was established again over 2,000 years ago. That arrival had a name. We named it Jesus. We named it the Messiah. We named it the Christ. That arrival had a purpose. Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now here's the truth. God didn't send Jesus just to get man into heaven. God sent Jesus to get heaven back into man. Let me say that again. God didn't send Jesus just to get man into heaven. God sent Jesus to get heaven back into man. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Christ in you, your hope of redemption. Christ in you, your hope of salvation. Peace, assurance. Christ in you, your hope of healing. Oh, you should be jumping up and down. That's good preaching. When we received Christ into our lives, we received all of him. Everything that he represented, all the kingdom and seed form, for unto us a child has been given, A child has been born. Unto us a son has been given. The government or the empire or the authority will be on his shoulders. When Jesus walked this planet in person, the good news that he shared was, the kingdom of God is near you. The kingdom of God is among you. But there is coming a time. There is coming a time, and it's not far away, when you will be able to receive me by my Spirit. And when that happens, we will be joined together. I'll be in you. You'll be a part of me. And the result of that will be the kingdom of God will abide in you. That's why Paul could say to the Corinthians, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come, and all things are of God. Know you not that you are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwells in you. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. Paul asks this question of the church of Corinthians. He said, do you not realize this about yourselves? That Jesus the Christ is in you. Paul wasn't speaking poetically. He truly meant that Christ Jesus is literally, practically dwelling within believers. There's lots of scriptures, you can look it up yourselves, that refer to in Christ or Christ in you. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, my children, with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you. Paul viewed the believers in Galatians as his children. He labored to help them to receive Christ as Savior. Now he continues to labor so that the Christ they received would be fully formed in them. Christ in us. But he wants us to have him formed in us. And he is able to do that as we give him an opportunity to do so. As we do that, he is able to express himself more fully in us and through us. And I was thinking about that last night. And it's like, I'll give you an example. It's like when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan with John the Baptist. And the Bible says that he came out full of the Spirit. But then the Spirit led him into the wilderness, and then that place he literally ridded himself of his flesh, you know, and it was less of him, more of God. And the Bible said how he came out in the power of the Spirit. He came out of baptism full of the Spirit, but then he, as he got more of God in him, he came out in the power of the Spirit. We have Christ in us, but God wants us to have Christ formed in us. Galatians 3:13-14, and I'll read it from the Message Bible. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, from that self-defeating curse. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree? That's what happened. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. And now because of that, the air is cleared. And we can see that Abraham's blessing is present and available for non-Jews too, just like us. We are able to receive God's life, his Spirit, in and with us by believing, by faith, just the way Abraham received it. You see, faith is the key that unlocks what we already have. But the principle of faith is, anybody know? Seed, time, and harvest. That's the principle of growth. Seed, time, and harvest. The kingdom of God, Matthew wrote, was the kingdom of heaven grows like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plant it becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. Verse 33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. Mark chapter 4, he likens the seed to the word of God. And he likens the field to the heart of man. You see, Christ's work starts in us when we receive him. And like a seed, it begins to grow in us and through us through revelation and acceptance. When we understand that, we begin to realize that the kingdom of God and all of its benefits, it's not something that we're trying to call down from heaven to get on us. It's something that is already in us. Thank you, Katrina. It's something that is already in us through Christ. And now it's up to us to draw it out of us by growing in faith. By a growing awareness. By a growing acceptance and confidence. When God begins to speak truth into your personal situation or a body of believers, it's good to just keep at it. And keep at it. And keep at it until faith comes. Or as I prayed before, until the eyes of your understanding are open and enlightened. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you this, you can't have faith in God apart from the word of God, because they're one and the same. If you're praying and believing for God to move or do something in your life that is contrary to his word and will, if you're praying and believing God to do something in your life that is, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then you're praying amiss. You're believing amiss. You're walking amiss. You're going down a track that leads to a dead end. And that hearing is much more than just hearing with our ears or seeing with our eyes. It goes beyond church doctrine. It goes beyond memorizing and quoting scripture, reading about or seeing it worked out in other people's lives and then acting on presumption. You see, the testimony of others may initiate and nourish the desire for faith in your own testimony. But eventually every individual must find out the truth for themselves. Your faith won't endure on borrowed light. The truth that you need is not governed and dependent on the number of others who embrace it. That truth that sets you free is the one that God reveals to you personally. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you know that you know that you know. You see, that hearing is when we take the time to study Scripture in the context of our own lives and circumstances, and apply it appropriately. Because faith without action is dead. Belief without application just takes you nowhere. And here's the thing I found in my own walk, that faith is not a pumping up. It's a settling down. It's a settling into. It's like concrete firming up over a period of time. And it doesn't always come loud, proud, and animated. I know mighty people of faith, mountain movers, who are anything but. They're just quiet people reserved, no attention drawn to themselves, humble. But when you hear this story of where they've been and what they've done, you begin to realize that they carry a depth of faith that is just phenomenal. One person, and I don't know whether I've shared the story about Pastor Benito Paclep. I met Benito many years ago. Benito was a pastor over in Malaysia. And when I met him, he was just a little fella. And just glowed, you know. I didn't know much about him. Another pastor friend brought him over to a conference that we were having. And one night we were at another pastor's house and having some supper. And somebody asked him, you know, what's your story? Where have you come from? What are you doing? And he began to share that he worked up in the high country in Malaysia, up where all the Muslims and all that were, where all the terrorists were. And he had over 50 churches. But because of his faith, of his belief, of his Christianity, he was always, the Muslims and that were always after him. I mean, they wanted to arrest him, torture him, kill him. And just as he began to share, just time and time and time again, he began to share how God had delivered him. He said, and this happened and that happened, but God is good, and he did this, and I was able to do that. And he said, because up there everybody is poor, there's no medication and things like that, he said, we just prayed, and this lady was healed of this and that and everything else. And he was just talking, like just talking about things that were going on. And all of us in the room, you know, and there were some big name preachers in the room, we were just stunned. And as he began to talk, his whole frame just grew and grew and grew and grew. He was about 100 times bigger in the inside than what he was on the outside. Were you there that night, Vic? Yeah. Faith is a settling into the Word of God, the will of God. It's a knowing that you know that you know that you know. It's like when assurance and conviction about a promise is tattooed on your heart and nothing can rub it out. I tried to give up once. Tried to backslide. My wife and I, we were going hammer and tongs, doing our best to build a church, build the kingdom. But our own circumstances began to fall apart. And the narrow road that we were on was becoming rockier and drier. And I observed that the wide road on the other side was getting greener and greener. And then something happened. And one day I just said, that is it. That's enough. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. I've had enough of this narrow road. I want that broad road. I want all that green grass. I want to roll around and some of those green paddocks for a while. And so I had it all planned. And I did my best to backslide, but I couldn't. I try to do things that are contrary to my conscience, but my conscience kicked in and I couldn't do it. And I was ticked off, man. I was angry. I was like Jacob. I started wrestling with God, not for something, but for him to let me go. Let me go. I want to get out of here. I want to be on that broad road. I want that green grass. Sick of this rocks, sick of this dirt and dust. But I just couldn't do it, see. God had revealed too much of himself in me. See, there was too much of God's goodness, too much of God's faithfulness in me to be able to deny him. So I spat the dummy for a while, dropped me lip, got back on track. And things did improve after that, but I always remember that. You get to that place where you know God that much that you can't even backslide. For goodness sakes. You know, I've told this story before, but I'll repeat it because it fits here. I heard and read about the love of God and how valuable I was in His sight for over 20 years. Then one day I heard it. I heard it in here. I got it. The penny dropped. And I wept over that revelation for days. And I still do. And I'm still talking about it. You see, and that truth set me free. There was a paradigm shift in my thinking that caused a paradigm shift in my heart, that caused a paradigm shift in my life, and I've never been the same again. Never been the same again. Prior to that, you're always trying to do things to please people, you know, to stand out and things like that. I don't worry about things like that anymore. I don't worry about what other people... I mean, it's nice to be liked, it's nice to be loved and everything, but if it doesn't come, I know the one who loves me. See? And who I am is based on what he thinks anyway, not on what other people think. That truth settled. At the same time, it settled me. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds by the word of God. And many times, that's where the battle is. That's where the battle for our breakthrough is, won or lost. It starts in here. It starts in what we believe. It's what we accept in our relationship to His Word. And it's often how we see ourselves in relationship to God's Word that makes a difference. Remember the 12 spies? They were sent out to find out which was the best way to take the land that God had said was theirs. That's all they had to do. They didn't have to go out and try and see if it was true. All he wanted them to do was to go and find out which was the best way to take it. It was theirs for the taking. The 10 spies came back with an evil report, and they said, "We are not able to take that land, for there are giants, there are obstacles, there's resistance, there's challenges. And when we saw those giants, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in theirs." We looked at the obstacles, at the challenges, and then we looked at ourselves. And we saw ourselves as useless, as inadequate, as incapable. They took their eyes off who God said they were, what God said they were capable of, what God said was already theirs. And they put their eyes on the circumstances, and it caused their hearts to fail, and it caused their hearts to melt. It took 40 years for all those old mindsets to pass away. All the doubts, all the fears finally died off. And a new generation came through with a new mindset, with a new view of themselves, with a new view of what God had promised. The Bible said how they went around and around and around for 40 years. And I can imagine them coming back to that spot where they were meant to cross over. And when they did, God would whisper into all those children as they began to grow, "You see that land over there? That's yours. You see that promise over there? That's yours. You can have that. That's yours for the taking. You see that healing over there? That's already yours. You see that breakthrough over there? That's already yours." See? Maybe that's where that song originated. "I believe I can fly. I believe I can have that land. If I can see it, I can believe it. And if I can believe it, there's nothing to it." For 40 years, that nation took them 40 years to be transformed from doubters to believers. But they got there. It was a process. It was seed, time, and harvest. Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform means metamorphosis or metamorpho. Transitioning from this to that, a complete change. Changing, and we know that's in caterpillars, right? Into butterflies. Changing from a caterpillar, a bug, a slug on a tree, into a caterpillar, something that can fly. Something that's beautiful. It's a process. I found that the caterpillar sheds its skin many times over in that transitioning. And we can compare that to our own journey in our own walk of faith. We shed stuff at different stages in our walk with Christ. Old mindsets, old beliefs, they drop away as we discover new revelations, new understandings. Old habits, old attitudes drop away as we give ourselves to change. Old desires, old values drop off as God places new ones in our hearts. And our perspective of God, of how big he is always changing, always increasing. Old fears drop away as we gain new confidence and assurance that greater is he in us than he that is in the world. Sometimes it's a huge shift. Most of the times it's just subtle. All of a sudden you are faced with a challenge and a hurdle that at one time may have overwhelmed you. But now something of strength rises up in you. And all of a sudden you're able to face that obstacle. And you look at yourself in the mirror. And because you've allowed God to build himself in you, you realize that you're not the same anymore. Most of you can say that. We're not the same that we were when we first came into this. Because you've given yourself to change, God has been transforming you. You see, God's number one priority for us is Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus. I can prophesy that over all of you today. To go from glory to glory. To experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. To experience abundant life. The Bible says that the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. What does that mean? That means that God is trying to build himself in us bigger and bigger and bigger. So that we're literally transforming into the image of God in a greater way. For redemption's whole package to be manifested in our lives, in us and through us. And that's achieved by faith. I'm going to have communion right now. We'll end it there. Time's getting on. But I'm going to have communion up here. So I'm going to ask you to come up and receive. For those that want communion, I'm going to ask you to jump out of your seats when the guys come back and come up and receive. And when you come up, I want you to focus on what Christ did for you. And what he has done for you, and what you have in him. Let me read Isaiah 53. It's from the Amplified Bible. But in fact, he has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assumed that he was stricken and struck down by God, and degraded and humiliated by him. But no, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Isaiah prophesied that. Jesus was a manifestation of that prophecy, and 1 Peter 2:24 confirmed it as a done deal. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. willingly offering himself on it, on the altar as of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and the power of sin, and living in a position of righteousness before God. Not only that, but by his wounds, we who believe have been healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God, that you sent your word, Lord, and healed me. You sent your word, Lord, and brought life, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that as your word has gone forth, Lord, that it shall not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you please and prosper in every area whereunto you send it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins that we already have, Lord, through the shed blood. Thank you, Lord, for the healing that we have through your broken body. If you'd like to jump out of your seats now and come forward in faith and receive healing afresh. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Christ. We thank you, Lord, for redemption. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood that washed away all of our sin. We thank you, Jesus, for allowing your body to be broken on our behalf, that we might receive healing. And as we take this bread today that represents your body, we thank you for healing in Jesus' name. And as we take this cup, Lord, which represents your blood, create in us a clean heart, O Lord. Renew in us a right spirit. Return unto us the joy of our salvation. Take not your spirit from us, but renew in us a steadfast spirit again. In Jesus' name I pray.